O God, our mystery, you bring us to life, call us to freedom, and move between us with love. May we so participate in the dance of your Trinity that our lives may resonate with you now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Today is Trinity Sunday, and each year, the Sunday after Pentecost, the Church, in its wisdom, gives us this one Sunday to contemplate the mystery of the Trinity. So we have gone from the season of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Christ, to Pentecost, celebrating the gift of the Spirit to the Church, and now we have a Sunday just sort of to stop and think about this great mystery. It would be hard to number the pages that have been written about the Trinity throughout the ages. And even, unfortunately, even great fights were fought over this, as in the 3rd century, the Church wrestled with the doctrine of the Trinity and came up with the Nicene Creed, which is the way that the Christian Church now really voices its understanding of the Trinity. But there is always an element of mystery in the Trinity. So this morning I want to talk about the mystery and then also talk about what we can talk about with our limited language. We hear of the Trinity in the very beginning of Genesis. God created all that is, and the Spirit moved over the waters. And in the beginning of the prologue of the Gospel of John, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Christ the Word. So from the beginning, there was this relationship within God, communion within God. From the beginning, then, we have this dance of relationship between God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say that you can only talk about the Holy Trinity for 1 minute before you lapse into heresy. So I've probably already gone over that. But we'll still give it a try this morning. At our best, we can only begin to describe God with our language and our images. And at worst, our metaphors and images of God are taken literally, and they can sometimes even become idols in themselves. I think it was Augustine who said, "If you have understood, then what you have understood is not God." But still, we try. I want to share a couple ways of envisioning the Trinity that I thought were particularly interesting, and then my favorite one as well. Hildegard of Bingen, 12th century mystic, composer, and abbess, described God as 3 manifestations of a flame, as brightness, as flashing forth, and as fire. 3 in 1 and 1 in 3, connecting all creation together in a great web of compassion. Some of you may remember, may have read some of Dorothy Sayers' works. She's an Anglican, now deceased, but she wrote wonderful mysteries, British mysteries, and she wrote things about Anglican theology, and she described the triune God as 3 manifestations of a book, as the thought, as the written word, and as the book is read. And then my favorite one, Edmund Hill, describes the Trinity as an eternal divine round dance. Perhaps a dance is the best way to understand the mystery of God in three persons. For God is, in essence, a relationship, constantly in motion. So what does it mean for us that we are made in the image of a triune God? It means that we are created for community. We are not meant to be alone. The mystery that we call the Trinity calls us into a life of relationship, a life of love, a life of embracing diversity and including all people. And the Trinity calls each one of us, that image of God, calls each one of us to become our own unique selves while remaining in relationship with others. So how do we live this out? Well, one way to do this is for us as a community to accept people's individual uniqueness and gifts. I remember many years ago when I was a layperson in Atlanta going to a parish and the rector welcoming me with a group of newcomers, all of us together, and telling us that our gifts and our talents would be appreciated there and that because of our coming into the community would change and that that would be a positive thing. So we can welcome people who come to us, people who may be very different from us, and not expect them to change everything in order to fit in with us. And something I think we do well at St. Catherine's, we can agree to disagree about things and still remain in relationship. There's a wide variety of theological opinions, and there is a wide variety of political opinions in this parish, and yet we can stay in communion with one another, not all have to think the same way. As I was thinking about this importance of the uniqueness within community and within the diversity, I thought about something from my own family, my own extended family growing up. Each summer when I was young, when I was growing up until I was about 16, I guess, my grandparents rented a house at the beach, and all my cousins and their parents would come, my aunts and uncles. There were just six grandchildren, but all of us would be there in one house, one big house, for a week. And there were 13 of us. My great aunt would come out too. And that was important family tradition. And there were some things we did, you know, that we just did when we were together that we always did and sort of took them for granted. And after we got older, even after our grandparents died, some of the cousins continued to get together, not every year or every other year, but every few years. And we began to get married, and amazingly enough, some of our spouses didn't have as good a time as we did. We couldn't imagine that. Now I know, because we figured it out, we had family norms. Every family has norms that are unspoken. You just have them, and you it's how you live together. And sometimes you don't even know what they are because you don't have to name them. It's just things you do and you don't do if you're part of that family. And every church community has those too. Unspoken, many unspoken norms. So one of the norms in our family, when we went on vacation, was we did things together all the time. Usually all of us together, or maybe half of us. Sometimes two people would do something together. But it was not okay for one person to go off by themselves. That was just not okay. So that worked really well for the extroverts and for the cousins who'd grown up together and knew each other very well. But a couple of the spouses were extreme introverts. And so we just didn't understand why someone would want to go take a bike ride by themselves when they were with us.
understand.
We couldn't understand that. Seriously, I'm serious. We didn't understand it. We thought there's something wrong with her. There's something wrong with her. So it was several years of this where I finally got introduced to the Myers-Briggs personality type thing. And there's a little book that's called Please Understand Me, and it has a short test for personality types. And so one year I brought that to our vacation, and I had everybody do it. And we all did it, and we looked at it, and boy, people's eyes were opened. And they began to understand that, yes, we're one family, but we are very different individuals, and some of us are really extroverted, like extreme extroverts, and some of us are really introverted, and that's just how we were, and it was important to make allowances for everybody. So one thing we can do perhaps as a parish from time to time is think about what are our unspoken norms and which ones of those do we need to keep, because you have to have norms to have a place that's safe, a parish that's safe. We have some important norms around behavior with children and, you know, things like that. But there may be something that we're not aware of that might not need to be held on to, that might make it difficult for a new person coming in, and we might find that out. So the Trinity is a relationship. God is a relationship. I think that's just very powerful. And the Trinity calls us to care about our community and the world around us and to be in relationship with each other while keeping our own unique selves. And finally, we are called to join the eternal divine round dance of life and love with God. O God, our mystery, you bring us to life, call us to freedom, and move between us with love. May we so participate in the dance of your Trinity that our lives may resonate with you, now and forever. Amen.